Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. Today we're talking to Dr. Will Varner about his new book, Messiah's Ministry, Crises of the Christ. It's his third in a trilogy about Jesus the Messiah. Will, it's great to have you back and congratulations on a really good book.
Thank you, Fred. It is always good to be here and I thank you for even considering interviewing.
Ah, you bet. Okay, this is the third of three books on the Messiah. So tell us about the other two and then particularly about this one.
Be happy to. I actually wrote these in an odd order. I didn't write them in the chronological order of our Lord's life, but I actually wrote them 3-1-2. The first one was Passion About Passion Week. And then I wrote Anticipating the Advent. And my Bible department chairman here at Masters University said, Will, you've written on the beginning of the Lord's life. You've written on the end of the Lord's life. Why don't you write something on the middle? And so I did. And so this is the messianic background of our Lord from baptism through transfiguration, that center part of Jesus' ministry. That's why I call it Messiah's Ministry, Crises of the Christ. Older folks will remember G. Campbell Morgan.
I do, yes.
Yeah, he had a book, Crises of the Christ, and yes. I borrowed that title as the subtitle for this book.
Right. Now, this is actually, if I'm right here, this is actually your fourth book on the Messiah. You published one years ago on the Messiah. Is that still in print, and why wasn't that part of the series?
Fred, you've done your homework, brother. I appreciate it. Yeah, back in 1994, I published The Messiah Revealed, Rejected, and Received, and I self-published it with Author House, and it's had a pretty good run. But this one is not only just about the Messiah, but it's the Lord Jesus and the messianic background of his life and ministry. I did borrow a few chapters from that, reworked them, updated them, and then added a whole bunch of new chapters.
Right, okay.
So yeah, there is a connection back there. Yeah, and I mentioned that in the book.
Before we go any further, I got to tell you a story. Bruce Waltke tells a story about, this is back in the late 50s, he said he was teaching a course, I think it was a module course, so it was a week-long course on the Messianic Psalms. And he said that at the very end of the week, last lecture, he asked, are there any questions? And one fellow raised his hand and said, Dr. Waltke, I mean, this is the last day of the full course. Dr. Waltke, what's a Messianic Psalm? He said he just could have died. What did I just do this week? So he said, ever since then, when he teaches on Messianic Psalms, he starts at ground zero. This is a Messiah. These are the prophecies. These are the offices. And this is the anointed. And he goes through the whole thing to make sure you understand what a Messiah is.
Wow.
And all of, start at ground zero. Don't assume a thing. So before all that to say, before we go anywhere else about your book, tell us what the Messiah is and the messianic hope and all of that. Give us that in a nutshell.
Actually, my introductory chapter is what is a Messiah. And I start off with a silly story of a few days after the birth of Jesus. Obviously, it's a made up story. Mary and Joseph have him at the, quote, city hall of Bethlehem. And grouchy old guy says, what's the kid's name? And she said, well, Jesus Christ. And what's your name? She said, well, I'm Mary Christ. And this is Joseph Christ. Well, that silly story, which everybody says, well, that's crazy. You know, Christ wasn't their family name. But I build off of that. That Jesus Christ is not his given name and Christ his family name. It's a title and it's anointed one. And so that's how I began, not assuming that people know what a Christ is, a Messiah, a Mashiach, a Christos, the anointed one who was prepared for in the Old Testament by those three individuals, prophets, priests, and kings, who began their ministry with an anointing with oil, and thus they became an anointed one. So every priest was an anointed one, every prophet was an anointed one, and every king was an anointed one. But together in the New Testament, we read that our Messiah was one who combined all three of those. As you know, Fred, you could be a prophet and a king, though it was rare. You could be a priest and a prophet, Zechariah, Ezekiel, but you couldn't be a priest and a king in the Israelite theocracy. Obviously, they came from different tribes, but Jesus is that priest king, priest dash king, in addition to his role as prophet. So he combines in his ineffable person and work the role of the prophet, the role of the priest, and the role of the king all together in one person.
Very good. Okay, this book isn't just a life of Christ, but your 15 chapters do highlight various events in the life of Jesus and the various ways that he's presented in the Gospels. So what was your agenda here, and how did you determine which topics to include?
Yeah, my agenda was to, first of all, set the stage and say, well, what did the men of Qumran, the Essenes, believe about a Messiah? Interesting. They believed in an individual prophet, an individual priest, an individual king, but they were three different persons. So I said they're in the right direction, but, you know, he's prophet, priest, king. I mentioned a little bit about Josephus and his view of Jesus, but then I jump into right there, I call it Messiah in the water. In the second chapter, Messiah in the wilderness. And you know what that is. That's his baptism and his temptation. And then I did some selective, and it has to be selective because it's not a full life of Christ, things about how a better understanding of the Old Testament background can inform how Matthew presents Messiah, how Messiah is a new Moses to him. I even mentioned the inauguration of his ministry there in Nazareth, when he was not declared, you know, a man of the century, but they tried to kill him. But he claimed Isaiah as saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, there in Luke 4. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In other words, I'm the anointed one. And of course, how that led to various things. I mentioned Messiah and women, because that's oftentimes misunderstood. Jesus was not anti-woman at all. He liberated women through his gospel, while some of the Jewish attitudes were very oppressive. I jump in there with Messiah and the Goyim, or Messiah and the Gentiles. And I pull something new, Fred, that I hadn't noticed before. I'd always taught that the two feedings of the 5,000 and 4,000 in Matthew were two Jewish congregations. I became convinced that while the first one was predominantly Jewish, the 5,000, the 4,000 was, I believe, predominantly Gentile. And I give some reasons for that. Part of the which is when they were fed, they, quote, glorified the God of Israel, which would be appropriate if it was Gentiles. That thing, I mentioned Messiah and the Madman. One of my favorites is the lunatic, as they would call it, the demon-possessed man. And then I towards the end, I conclude with Messiah's metamorphosis, the metamorpho, the transfiguration, and how Moses and Elijah were with him on that mount. And then I bring it to a practical conclusion. I'm saying Messiah Jesus, should Jews believe on him? I'm praying that this book will also get in the hands of Jewish people as well. And they'll know that there's a reason to believe in Jesus from their Jewish perspective.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a summary.
Very good. Very good. All right. Highlight for us some of the messianic related themes that you treat in the book.
Yeah, well, in my last book, there was a great emphasis on Messiah as the suffering servant. Of course, that's very, very clear in the Passion Week. I did things like drawing from Genesis 12:3, and also from the latter part of Isaiah, where the Gentiles are included in this. Oftentimes, Fred, and sometimes I think you know what I'm talking about. There's this silly thing that Jesus came just for the Jews and they rejected him. And then plan B went into effect. The plan B. Well, it wasn't plan B. From the very beginning, Genesis 12:3, And even Genesis 49:10 talks about that the Messiah is for the nations. He's for the glory. The latter part of Isaiah is for that as well. He didn't seek out the Gentiles, but whenever Gentiles came to him, he never turned them away. And of course, that prepared the way for the book of Acts and Peter opening the door real wide to the Gentiles. So those are some of the themes that that oftentimes are neglected, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think my favorite in that is John 12, when the Greeks come to see Jesus, and the disciples don't know quite what to do with that.
Yeah.
It's almost humorous.
Yeah.
We want to see Jesus. Well, I'm not sure about it. Just wait here a minute. We'll see. How not to witness.
But those same disciples, particularly Peter, quote, opened the door to Cornelius later when they saw the light.
Yeah, that's right. Very good. Okay, you have quite an emphasis in the book on Jewish backgrounds. Tell us how that's important for your work.
Yeah, well, you know, when I graduated from undergraduate university in South Carolina, I don't think I'd ever met a Jewish person. And I went up north and they're all over the place. And I fell in love with them. And so in addition to my theological training, Fred, I took a master's degree in Jewish studies at Dropsey University and ended up 17 years with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. So the Jewish people developed in my heart and mind, and they've never been out of it. And hence messianic prophecy is very important in that regard. My last chapter actually began with a guy who gave me a flyer passed out on a University of Arizona, I believe, or Arizona State campus, an anti-Christian missionary flyer saying Jews should not believe in Jesus because, and he gave four or five reasons. Well, I answered that and sent it back to the fella, and I ended up turning it into a chapter, answering those Jewish objections to Jesus, and then saying Jews should believe in him for the following reasons. So that's the orientation of all of my writings, hence Josephus, hence Qumran, hence that final chapter. Sadly, our Jewish friends, usually they don't even know why, except the fact that Jesus suffered, and when their Messiah comes, he's not going to suffer.
Right.
You know, he's going to make us free. And so they see him hanging on a cross and they say, what kind of Messiah is that? And in one of my other books, of course, I go into it and say, that's part of the plan that he would suffer and die. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. So hence the Jewish people are never far from my writing.
Very good. We're talking to Dr. Will Varner about his new book, Messiah's Ministry, The Crises of the Christ. It's an enlightening read, an enjoyable read. It'll deepen your understanding and your appreciation of Christ in the days of his earthly ministry. We're glad to recommend it. It's thoroughly enjoyable. Get one for yourself and get one for your pastor as well. Will, thanks again for your good work, and thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. May the prophet, priest, and king receive all glory through our ministries, brother. Amen. Thank you, Fred.
Very good.